Surprise, talk about surprises with the microphones. Tuesday, Terry Hollingsworth, who is on vacation, sends me an email saying, hey, here's a copy of the bulletin, just in case you want to see it. I know you're sharing the word Sunday morning. So I took a quick look at the bulletin and I said, this is not the gospel reading that Pastor Dave gave me to talk about with you all. So I emailed Terry, and back and forth we went, and then the decision was made, well, the bulletins have been printed, let's don't waste paper, we'll just tell Kitty to read the verse that that Dave gave me. Thank the Lord. Because I was not ready to rethink everything that I had planned to talk to you about. So thank you for being here. A special thanks to those of you that knew I was doing this and showed up anyway. So here we go. There are rules everywhere. Speed limit 55. No parking. Please take a clean plate to the buffet each time. You name it. Rules are everywhere in our life. And there are also, it seems like, always snarky people there to tell us when we're outside the rules. Honey, slow down. It's only 55 through here. Hey, you can't park there. Hey, this is the express lane. You've got 13 items. You can only have 12. So we're surrounded by people like that, unfortunately. But in this story, we have Jesus and his disciples on a Sunday afternoon traveling to the next village that they're going to preach in or spread the word in. They're walking through the grain fields, and some of the disciples decide, well, I'm a little hungry. I'm going to pick some grain, eat a couple of grain heads. I don't know. I guess it's like sunflower seeds maybe. I don't know. How do you eat grains of wheat? But that's what they were doing. And the Pharisees, who were supposed to be the religious and moral leaders of the Jewish community at that time, were watching. They didn't say, hey guys, if you guys are hungry, come over here. We've got some bread. We'll give you something to eat. They said, you're not supposed to be doing that. And I can imagine those disciples just rolling their eyes. Oh, here we go. You know, you're not supposed to be doing that. That's against the law. To me, that scene reminds me, when I read that story, I hear about these guys walking through the field, picking some grain to eat on a Sunday afternoon. I think back to my grandmother's farm. We had a tradition. Every Sunday after church, we would go to my grandmother's farm. Other uncles and aunts would come with their kids, my cousins. We would all play, have big Sunday dinner. This was down in North Carolina. And my grandmother had a scuppernong vine on an overhead trellis. Any of y'all know what scuppernongs are? Pastor Dave didn't know, and it's the state fruit of North Carolina, and he's from North Carolina. It's like a grape with a very thick hull. Some people call them muscadines. You squeeze the hull and the fruit just pops out into your mouth. Well, if anybody had told us, you're sinning by doing that, we would have just, what? We're just eating scuppernongs. Or think of my grandmother who was in the kitchen with my mom and aunts preparing a delicious Sunday meal for us. If someone had said, you're sinning by cooking that food, they would have said, what? But the Pharisees, that's what they were all about. They were all about the law and the letter of the law. So let's look at where that came from. In the beginning, God, who created us all, had one rule. What was it? Don't eat the fruit from that tree in the middle of the garden. That was the only rule. Adam and Eve were in the garden, had everything they needed. Life was good. Just one rule, don't eat the fruit from that tree. Well, of course, we know how that went down. And that started humankind on our journey that's brought us to where we are today. We're going to flash forward a few centuries. The children of Abraham have been in slavery for many hundreds of years. God has finally
brought them free under Moses' leadership. They're in the middle of the desert. They're trying to find their way to the promised land. And God says, I know these people are going to need some more help. They're going to need some more rules to help them live life as I have it designed for them to live my kind of life. So he presents Moses with 10 rules. And they're all very good rules. Rules for a moral life. Rules to live a godly life. Honor God and no other God before him. Honor your mother and father. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't covet your neighbor's stuff. All very good, simple rules. Moses brought them down, presented them to the people, and they are on their way. But, of course, we can't leave well enough alone, so you jump one more chapter, one more book in the Bible to Leviticus, and then you've got a whole host of rules that the Jewish leadership decided needed to be written also, like you can't eat shrimp, and you can't eat pork. You can't do this in the camp. You can't do this out of the camp, on and on. One of the rules, back to the commandments, was honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. The Sabbath was always taken to mean that seventh day of the week when God rested during the creation process. Forward, today, and our world has changed so much, we're no longer in that position where we shut everything down on Sunday. People work, stores are opened, and the Sabbath has become more like just any other day. But I want to tell you that, to me, this one rule that God put in the Ten Commandments, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy, was more than just a rule for life. It was a gift to us. And if you fast forward to this, the story appears also in Mark, if I can just find that. There's another line that doesn't appear in the reading that Kitty shared with us. After Jesus had talked to the Pharisees about, don't y'all remember what David did when he had to sneak into the temple and eat the food of the presence that was only for the priest? He finished up by saying, the Sabbath was made for humankind and not humankind for the Sabbath. This is God's gift to us because God knows it is our nature, especially in this 21st century, to always be doing something. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm sure there are people sitting here right now that are thinking about what they've got to do after church. What have I got to get done this afternoon? That's the way we are. That's the way we're wired. So my proposal to you is that consider the Sabbath not just as a day, which of course Sunday is the Sabbath, but look for Sabbath moments. Look for time in your life when you can have a Sabbath moment, a moment of rest, a moment of not doing anything but being still, listening for God's word, praying to him, spending time with your family, not going to soccer practice, not going to Little League, not going to swim lessons, not working in the yard, but just spending time together. In fact, here at Bethel, we have championed that idea with Faith 5. If you do that in your home every evening, that time of reading and sharing and talking and praying and blessing together, that's a Sabbath moment. Those are to be cherished. God knows that we need rest. We can't be consumed by our thirst for more money, more bigger house, more this, more that, bigger promotion at work, whatever. We have to stop and realize we need rest. Rest is renewal. Rest is peace. Rest is a time for us to count our blessings and thank God for all he has done for us. Rest is time to take our focus off of this world and look heavenward and establish that connection with him who wants so desperately to be with us all the time. So I want you to think about that as we leave today. Take some time to create Sabbath moments in your life. Moments of rest, moments of doing nothing, moments of reflecting on Him and His presence in your life and what He has done for you. Moments to renew your spirit. And do that with your family. Teach your children the same thing. Learn to enjoy those quiet times. Be in His presence. Let's everybody right now take a deep breath. It feels good, doesn't it? God builds that rest into the rhythm of our lives. We rest between heartbeats, our heart rest. We rest between inhale and exhale. Tides have their rhythm in and out. The earth rests over the wintertime and is rejuvenated in the spring. It's all laid out there right before us. God wants us to get in that cycle too. Work. May your work be good work. But take time to rest. And may your rest be holy rest. So enjoy this Sabbath Sunday. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you for being here. Create those Sabbath moments in your life. And connect with God above. Thanks be to God, and thank you all.
Mike, for sharing the word today.